Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Good week, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Good, thanks. A little bit of a cold here, which is appropriate for our first topic. We take a look at a study that deals with upper respiratory tract infections. Just a little bit of background here, something we're all very familiar with. Upper respiratory tract infections predominantly affect the nasal part of the respiratory mucosa. Because upper respiratory tract infections can affect any part of that mucosa, it's arbitrary whether we as doctors call this a cold, a sore throat, a tonsillitis, sinusitis, acute otitis media, bronchitis, but we see it all the time. Upper respiratory tract infections are responsible for about 11% of our consultations, people that come to our office. Much more common in young people than in older people. Estimates are that each year children suffer about 5 such infections. In a calendar year, adults 2 to 3 infections. The cause of these sort of nasty ailments, mainly viruses, typically rhinovirus, coronavirus, and respiratory syncytial virus, although there are others. More than half the time when researchers study these things, they cannot isolate the infecting organism. Prognosis, as we know, is very good. These are usually short-lived, lasting only a few days. So as we think about treatment, we need to think of what are the goals of intervention and what are the outcomes. And outcomes that may be important to our patients include cure, shortening duration of symptoms, decreased time away from work, and most important for today, a decrease in the incidence of complications. So the abstract, Mark, that you've picked for us this week asks the question, does antibiotic treatment of common respiratory infections decrease the risk of serious complications? What did the authors from this BMJ study find?
Well, this seems like one of those things that would have been answered comprehensively and definitively a long time ago, but interestingly, it hasn't. And this study isn't a definitive answer, but it provides some guidance for us, I think, and I think it was very interesting. The researchers used the UK's General Practice Research Database to find all the patients who had a URI, sore throat, otitis media, or bronchitis. They then looked to see if those patients had received antibiotics at the time of diagnosis, and then using other databases if they developed a serious complication within a month of diagnosis. And the complications were pneumonia after a URI or bronchitis, peritonsillar abscess after a sore throat, or mastoiditis after otitis media. Now, this is a huge database with over 1 million URIs, 1 million sore throats. So it's one of the first studies that was big enough to have the power to detect these rare complications. Now, one of the limitations is that these sorts of databases are only as good as the data you put in, as the physicians coding the diagnoses, and we know that can be pretty inaccurate at times when somebody will write down bronchitis when they think somebody is a little sicker and URI when they're not quite as sick. So that's one of the limitations of this kind of an observational database study. Now, pneumonia in patients age 16 to 64 years decreased from 6.7 to 5.4 per 10,000 URIs with the use of antibiotics. Now, that was statistically significant, but you would have to treat over 4,000 patients with an antibiotic to prevent one episode of pneumonia. The results were similar for peritonsillar abscess after a sore throat and mastoiditis after an ear infection. In both cases, there was a tiny decrease in the risk of those complications, but the number needed to treat was over 4,000. That's an awful lot of people to treat to prevent, you know, one of these complications. The only exception was pneumonia after bronchitis. Now, the first statistic with the NNT of 4,000 was pneumonia after URI, but if it was coded as bronchitis, the NNT was about 120 in patients 16 to 64 years and 39 for patients older than 65 years. So the bottom line is that antibiotics do not in a clinically meaningful way prevent serious complications like mastoiditis or peritonsillar abscess. There is some question about whether they may prevent pneumonia, particularly in older patients who are coded as having a bronchitis. Now, I think one of the issues, again, as I cited earlier, was maybe those docs were hearing things in the lungs that actually represented an early pneumonia or a pneumonia. They were coding it as bronchitis, and so what seemed to be a complication down the road was actually perhaps already there at the time they were coding it. That may not be the case. It may be that they actually do have a protective effect, but you know, I think this is something that obviously needs some more study. There have been 10 studies of bronchitis treatment, but they were all pretty small. Some used older antibiotics, and none of them were large enough to look at complications. So we need to study this common and important problem better.
Right. Just two quick comments. One, just the observation that the study comes from the UK. It is one of the huge advantages of having a national database. As you say, it's the only way you can look at rare events. And it's quite remarkable that we now have that sort of data set. And hopefully, as we get more EMRs connected to each other, we'll be able to have such databases in the U.S. The other is that perhaps we need to look at a subsample of people. And maybe for bronchitis, you know, there are a group of people that really are at a slightly higher risk of developing complications that we really ought to think about using antibiotics for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've thought for a long time, and there are some studies that are, I believe, getting underway now looking at is there a subgroup of antibiotic-sensitive patients? And, you know, as you said, our labels for these conditions are in many ways arbitrary, and, you know, what one person calls a URI and another person calls a bronchitis and another person calls an LRTI are to some extent all the same thing, and that goes for sinusitis as well. So I think our labels are flawed, and I think certainly our ability to apply those labels consistently in practice is flawed. So that's a real issue, and I think we need to back up a little bit and see, are there symptom complexes that define different groups of patients, some of whom need one kind of treatment and some of whom need a different kind of treatment. You know, unfortunately, bronchitis as an episodic self-limited illness is something that, you know, drug companies aren't terribly anxious to fund study of. They I think, are more interested in funding research where people will be buying the drug every month for years. And also, traditionally, the studies they have funded have compared one antibiotic to another and not really tried to identify who needs an antibiotic at all.
Right, right. Interesting. But the bottom line here is that still, for the vast majority of patients come in with bronchitis or other respiratory infections, no antibiotics.
Yeah, I mean, there is probably a modest benefit in sinusitis that's been there for 7 or 8 days or more. There's a very modest benefit for acute otitis media, particular, but probably more so if the child or person is sicker and has higher fever. But for most patients, they're going to do fine. And certainly bronchitis and URI, they're going to do just fine without an antibiotic.
Thank you, Mark. We'll talk with you next week. Have a good one.
All right. Take care.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.